Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's working.
The sweet sounds of Kevin Bloody Wilson. It's Hump Day with Swanee and Friends. Making his return to his own podcast, Dane Swan, Samantha Richards, and guest friend Tom Morris. Well,
Samantha nearly died before choking on a fucking croissant.
We thought you had died. We had to do a fucking welfare check 2 weeks in a row.
And I nearly did.
We'll get to that. Tom Morris, thank you for joining us.
What?
Is there an apology?
No.
There's no apology.
We'll get to that. Let Tom say hello.
Well, I'm just going to say hello. What a pleasure to be here.
Welcome to the Madhouse.
Well, it feels like you're a soulmate. We haven't met face to face, but you know, you've been cancelled, so that's you're one of us.
Yep.
Yeah,
I've been cancelled.
You haven't met him?
No.
Face to face.
We just talk on Twitter, really.
So that's how Ralph fucking speaks to everyone on Twitter.
Yeah, but he speaks like there's some kind of like relationship here, as in like father son.
Journalists don't.
It's quite a close relationship.
Well, I've been proud of the way he's bounced back. That's all. Yeah, knowing him, I just thought, well, let's.
What I've discovered is there's two sorts of people. There's people that like the way I bounce back, and people think I should never work again. So Ralph's one of the former. So that's good. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's where the allegiance lies.
Yeah.
Just loyalty.
Straight away, we gravitate to people who know what it's like to have the shit kicked out of them.
There's been a bit of that.
But also, and this is part of it, you like Dane, you've won an opinion-based award.
What's that?
Oh, he won a Brownlow, it's an opinion-based award. Yeah. Channeling Scotty Cummings.
But yeah, people told me the Alf Brown Award was like the Brownlow, which I think is a bit unfair.
That was fucked up too, was it?
According to a lot of people.
So dodgy voting,
Dodgy voting. Well, I mean, I wrote one story and won an award. And
how does who sits on a panel and votes for that?
That's a good question. They actually don't reveal it, but it's senior media people. So I don't know. Like I'm guessing it could be Caro, it could be Anthony Hudson, could be Jared Waitley. Yeah. I don't know. But you got to win another award to win the Alf Brown. So
on the night,
So I won this award for the Damien Hardwick story, and I was sitting back thinking, I'm pretty happy myself here, you know.
Yeah.
And then they read up my name. But then who got up there? BT got up there and said, I'm the winner of the Alf Brown's Tom Morris. And I was honestly shocked, visibly shocked. So it was good, but it's a bit embarrassing, really, because I've worked a lot harder on stories in my life and got nowhere. And I worked for about 4 hours on this story.
So I won an award. How old will we have to live to before we find out the true story of how you got the Damien Hardwick story that he was resigning for?
Oh, you'd have to, the source would have to be dead.
Right, okay.
Yeah. So if you can murder the source, I'll tell you who the source is.
You need to know who the source is before we can murder it. Was there a red carpet? Is it like the Brownlow? Do the journos kick on and get
journos kick on.
Cooked on?
Journos definitely kick on. I don't even know.
Luke Darcy was sitting where you're sitting when he did this podcast a couple of years ago, and he said while he was a player, and I think he was one of, you know, it was his unbelievable year when he was favourite for the Brownlow, didn't end up winning it, of course, but he won a media award for best player by the media. Didn't want to go. The club talks him into going. Mm. So he turns up. And he said, by about three-quarter time of the awards, looking around the room, he thought, fuck me dead. These are the people critiquing us.
I know. Oh, God. I mean, who am I to talk? I'm a journo myself. But I look around the room sometimes. I'm thinking, this is a pretty rough industry. But afterwards, I mean, I'm lucky at the moment in this sense because I work Sundays and Mondays. And that's it. Sometimes Saturdays. So this was a Tuesday night. I thought, fuck, let's go. Tuesday night. Here we go. Got nothing to wake up for. So at the end of the night, it was me, Xander Maguire, Eddie's son, Jackie Reed, couple of others at about 2 a.m. at this Irish pub in South Bank. Yeah. That was about it. And I walked home and I was completely cooked. But it was a good night.
What day did you walk home?
Wednesday morning.
Did you have your medal around your neck?
No, it was a big heavy trophy, big actually. And I've got tennis elbows, so that was shit. One thing I've learned is that nothing the public hates more than media, patting media on the back. Yeah. So SEN put up this tweet of me and Jared Waitley, you know, well done to the award winners. And honestly, I woke up the next morning and...
Did you have a look at the comments?
Oh, the vitriol. Like, I was ready to go, I thought I was through the worst of it. Luckily, I'm okay, but my poor dad and sisters had to read it.
Yeah, so fun.
That was pretty rough, but people didn't hold back, for sure.
So one thing the mob hates more than... they get the thrills out of cancelling someone. But then the second time around is if you bounce back, they hate it even more.
Well, they think it's some sort of redemption arc and you're back doing a normal job and everyone's forgiven you. They don't realise that, and this is okay, but like, you know, I've worked a day and a half a week for 6 months, and for the 12 months before that, I didn't work. Mm. So the tax guy calls and goes, oh, can you send through your pay slips? I got no pay slips. I got nothing. You know, I'm living off my wife's income, which is fine. So, you know, I'm not the victim. I did the wrong thing, but it's been pretty rough 18 months, and I would just like a full time job. That's pretty much it.
Did you ever consider going, all right, well, fuck, I'll just go work at Macca's, going to a different career, or did you know that if you could hold on through this storm, once the dust settles, you can go back to doing what you love and what you're actually good at?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm still considering it because I still don't have a full time job. So I've got 3 weeks. Full-time work at SEN during the trade period, which is good, and then no real certainty beyond that. So you start to think, fuck, maybe I am done. And so I'm prepared for that possibility for sure. I'm not sure working at Macca's I'd be any good. I'm a shit cook. Maybe delivering pizzas.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I've got to weigh up what else I want to do. I would still like to be a full-time journo, but you know, if it doesn't work out, then I've got to do something else.
Mm. So you could get tips off date.
Well, I wouldn't.
No, sure. But you applied for the doll after you retired.
I popped in to check my options.
Yeah. What'd they say?
There wasn't heaps going for me. You know, because I had an insurance payout and I had just written a book. So I'd probably made more in that year than I did in any previous other year. So going up there to check my options was something I had to do. And they basically said, probably nothing here for you. So, but you never know.
I don't know what else I could do. It's like I've only ever worked in sports media.
Yeah.
You know, I've coached cricket and done things like that, but I've never actually. I'm no good with numbers. I couldn't sort of work as an accountant or
a trade. You gotta get out there.
I'm shit with that stuff as well. Same. So I, something to do with media. I don't really want to do communications or something. So I don't really know what else.
Do you
else
know
I'm
how much you get paid doing communications? A lot.
Yeah, I know. People say I've got a friend who was a journo at Channel 9, and she's gone to work in Sydney at PwC.
Yeah.
And she just says it's just a no-brainer. Like, so I'm just thinking, God, yeah. But I still love footy. I still love cricket.
Yep.
I still love sports journalism and media. I just hope that an opportunity pops up. But if it doesn't, I've only got myself to blame.
So you fucked up. You put your hand up and you got time. So put that aside because that's old news. But what'd you learn about yourself after it?
Since after it happened?
Mm. Yeah, well, since, you know, because that...
Yep.
It's one thing at the time, and
careful who your mates are.
Well, yeah, I mean that's another story altogether. I mean, you got to be careful what you say and what you write. But I think probably what I learned most was that I probably was living in this like sports media vortex. I don't know if you felt the same when you were playing footy. You actually have a distorted view of reality, and your perspective on the world isn't probably as clear as what it should be. So I was on the treadmill, you know, trying to break stories, did it like bang, bang, what's the next story? Who can I chat to? Like, what can I do? Footy in the winter, cricket in the summer, bang, bang. And in the end, like I was just on this treadmill and it probably got too much for me. I probably got ahead of myself. I probably didn't have the gratitude that I needed to have. So what I probably learned was that I just need to take a breath sometimes, and there's more important things in life than just trying to break the next story. You know, which was all I cared about for like 6 years. Like, how can I break the next story? And the average punter, like, they'll lap it up. But in the end, like, there's more to life than just your job. So your job's important, but there is more to life. And, you know, like, so that was 18 months ago. I went overseas, had a great time in Europe and the US and all this sort of stuff. And I didn't watch much footy overseas. Like, I didn't, so that made me think, like, do I actually love the game? Like, I love cricket, but do I love footy? And I've come back and I've actually fallen in love with footy again. So I'm hoping in the long run, having that time off will be good for me. But, you know, like we've had some personal challenges as well. Like my mum passed away in June. She had brain cancer for 2 years. So that puts in into perspective as well. It's like, you know, I lost my job. I got publicly humiliated. I got shamed. I'm getting abused from people on the street like daily, which was like confronting for my family and me. But then your mum gets sick and you're like, fuck the job. Like, who cares about what job you have? Who cares about breaking a story? Let's look after your family and your mum. So, I don't know. You work out what's really important, I reckon.
How do you break stories? Like, are you just cold calling every person you know and going, what have you got for me? Or, you don't tell the source, but, like, is it something like that? You're just walking around, just someone comes up and tells you a story because you've got a relationship with them, or you cold call them every footy club fucking in the land going, mate, is that fucking happening in your footy club?
I think it's very few cold calls. You reach a point where I remember, so I wrote the story, Bomber Thompson's house got raided. So I just got lucky with that. Like, a mate called me and said, I think Bomber Thompson's house has been raided for, you know, drugs.
Yeah.
So I made a couple of calls, and you can call Vic Police Media. I don't know if you ever did it. Mm-hmm. And they can tell you, yes, we can confirm, you know, there's been a search warrant on a 54-year-old's house in this street in Port Melbourne. Yeah. So you go, hang on.
They have to confirm that, or?
Yeah, but they don't tell you who it is. Yeah. So I've gone, Bomber Thompson, oh, geez, he is 54. Oh, and then I go, Bomber Thompson, like literally.
But they actually have to say, yes, there has been a, can't, yeah.
And then you Google, you know, Bomber Thompson address. Yeah. And it'll literally come up as he's done a story like 10 years earlier and he lives in this street. You're like, oh my God, that's him.
Yeah.
So no, I did that story. And that's when Jake Nile went from Fox back to The Age. So then Fox said, oh, you can have that role. And I was 26. I was like, fuck, I'm like, you want me to be on the couch? Yeah. So then I'm on the couch and there's like Roosie, you know, like Jared Healy's hosting, Jonathan Brown. And I'm thinking, am I up for this? This is hard. Gary Lyon. And then I did the Adelaide training camp. So all of a sudden, like, my face is everywhere then. And I just wasn't prepared for this. Like, all of a sudden, people, like, are recognising me. But once you get put on TV, people are more likely to take your call.
Because
they're worried about, you know, like, people take Caroline Wilson's calls because they're worried about the shit that she can say and what she can write. Yeah. So to answer your question, probably very, very little of it is cold calling. Most of it is just the relationships you build.
Yeah. So someone will call you and say, mate, I've heard something.
But why would people tell you if you're just going to tell the world? Like, if it's something that's not meant to be broken, right?
Yeah. People love something information, don't they? Like, people love saying, like, geez, I know this. You didn't hear from me. But, like, and that's but like the dream is like a journo.
Really? People actually do that? Because if I didn't want you to know something about something that was happening in, like, let's say I was the head of the Western Bulldogs.
Yeah. And just to pick any club.
To be fair, I've worked for the Bulldogs. But if and I didn't want anyone to know about it, and then it got leaked, and only me and Ralph know, then I know that it's fucking Ralph that said something to you. Do you know what I mean? Right. So why would Ralph say something? Because he knows that only him and I say something.
Well, if that's the case, then he probably wouldn't, because there's no deniability. But if he knows that 15 people know, then he can say it and say
that. And people just say it. People just ring up and go, fucking, he's gone.
Yeah. No secrets in footy clubs, is there anymore?
There's no secrets. No. I mean, even overnight with Callum Mills and the Sydney Swans, you know, he got into a wrestling match at Mad Monday and hurt his shoulder.
Yeah, absolutely. Good on him.
Yeah. Anyway, so that story, like someone cold called me with that story last week.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, that's good. So I called the club and the club's like, nah, not true. And in fairness, the person I spoke to at the club actually was telling the truth. He didn't know.
Okay, yeah.
But it turns out that Charlie Gardner did know and they're just trying to cover it up, and then Mitch Cleary got it last night. But like the Bulldogs, you know, like,
do you get upset that you had it week
ago? I was annoyed.
So yeah, it's like,
fuck, I just missed out on that. Cause that's
so did you not go ahead with this? This is interesting because we talk about this on the podcast that journalism has kind of gone down the route of it's not who's right, it's who's first.
Yeah.
So was your hesitation to break that story because of the burn that you've just had recently? Do you think old Tom would have just run with that story?
No, I don't think so. I needed a second source for that one. The person that told me was like, I think this has happened, but go follow it up. So okay. I mean, if you get that wrong, you look like an idiot. Like, the other thing I was going to say about breaking a story is you got to predict what the story is going to be. So the Western Bulldogs one in 2021 in grand final week, we knew Alex Keith was coming back in the team. Like, he was injured for the prelim. And then, like, it was obvious that one of Zane Cordy or Ryan Gardner was going to be dropped. So if I found out that Cordy or Gardner was in, I knew the other one was out.
Yep.
So, like, I was, like, hunting that. And I found out that Gardner was out. So I broke it. And the Dogs hated that. But, like, it's a footy story. It's a selection story. Sorry, like, the player's been told. He's told people close to him. That's just it. But I've got that story because I've looked ahead and thought, what can the story be? So you can do that, or you can just get lucky and get a phone call, you know. So it varies.
So back in the day, I was lucky in that I worked with Ed.
Yeah.
I think Ed's 5 years younger than me, and Hutchie's about 8 years. Yeah. Ed's 5 years older than me. Hutchie's about 8 years younger. So I got to see the best of that era, no doubt, and got some big insights. But seeing, my theory was, and tell me if this is still true, the best journos are almost based on what they don't go with.
Yeah.
There's so much that they knew that they don't go with, but then if Knackers knows that you know this and you're not going with it, which might be a 5 out of 10 story, they might give you a 9 out of 10 story because you didn't go with a 5 out of 10 story.
100%. The only reason I got the Adelaide training camp story, which was 2018, and it blew up way more than I thought, by the way. I don't think it would be as big as I thought, was because the person that told me, I protected like 2 years earlier on a story.
Yeah.
Right. I can't remember even what it was, but he was like, don't go with it. I'm like, okay, I won't. And then 2 years later, he's like, so have you heard what's happening in Adelaide? Yeah. So it paid off. I didn't expect it to pay off like that.
Fucking whispers. There were some girls, this little footy gossip, isn't it?
Well, why aren't girls involved as well? I mean, there's a lot of girls that talk as well in footy.
That's true.
So, and you know, I've done a bit of, when I was at Fox, before I got sacked, I did quite a bit of AFLW reporting. And the amount of information you can get from AFLW players and assistant coaches and coaches is fucking phenomenal. Like it is awesome.
How careful you have to be writing AFLW stories?
I haven't yet. Not since I got
sacked. Yeah, so you obviously, I would say you probably should be writing AFLW stories, but like, you think it would be different because they're not ready for probably the criticism and all the stuff that the men are used to.
Dane got fat shamed on the back page of the Herald Sun. How do you reckon that would go if that was like Ellie Carpenter or something?
Yeah,
I've got that photo somewhere here.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Do you know what I mean?
100% true.
Fat chance. The headline was.
Let's move on. Are you okay, Dane?
I'm surprised you haven't got that
tattoo. No, Are You Okay, Dane? A couple of weeks ago. I was a bit flat. I'm still a bit flat. Yeah.
It could be other reasons you're flat.
The back page of the paper.
It is different. With AFLW, I just try to, when I was reporting like full time and women's cricket as well, just try to stick to like trade, contracts, injuries. That's it.
Yeah.
Pure like, you know, swim between the flags. I don't get outside.
There hasn't been a lot of gossip about the women's yet, like how men's like, you know, been seen doing this or you've been doing that.
Well,
or
you've been caught in
a night. No, I'm just saying, I'm all about equality, Ralph.
Exactly.
Well, so I'm a mate. I'm a new man, I'm a new age man, I'm all about equality.
It's 2023, Ralph.
Exactly.
I did one. Taylor Harris went off the Carlton training track when she was at Carlton to do an Instagram post. She had some sort of deal with someone to post something on Instagram at whatever time it was, let's say 8 p.m. at training. And someone told me, and I reported that Taylor Harris left training early to do an Instagram post. And I'll never forget, oh God, some of the vitriol, like some of the stuff I copped, and then poor Taylor copped it as well. I say poor Taylor because I wrote the story.
Yeah.
But that's a story, in my view. It's like, whether you like it or not, she's prioritized doing an Instagram post over training, and her teammates and her coaches hated it. So that was
fair. It must have been a fair room for her. Yeah. Fair enough. I'd run off the track too if the money was right. Don't worry about that.
Dane, you'd run off the track.
I'd jog off. I'd walk off the track.
You were with Mick last night. Just talk us through, Mick. I just need to leave for a second.
Yeah, no, he wouldn't know what an Instagram story is. Yeah, no, he wouldn't be really thrilled, I would imagine.
So there's a hole in this story with you, with the controversy, that I reckon we can address now.
Okay.
It's okay. Because the mob defended you when Luke Beveridge went you.
Yeah.
And then the mob killed you.
Yeah.
Right, they want blood, they wanted you dead, and they got your career.
Fair enough, I can just say, I deserve to get sacked. So.
You said all that. Yeah. No. But let's go back to the Luke Beveridge piece.
Oh, right, yeah.
would you, Tom Morris, do what you did then, or was that all part of, you know, you're on the escalator going up and fuck you, I'll do whatever I want?
It was interesting. No, I would, because it's a selection story. You know, it's like it's not Watergate.
That's the whole vitriol behind Beveridge.
Yeah, what actually happened? So I told you about 2021 there with Keith and Gardner and Zane Cordy, which... It was grand final week, and in round 24 round 20, no one cares if Ryan Gardner's dropped. But in grand final week, a player being dropped is like, that's a story.
But where does your loyalty lie? As in, to the public or to the football clubs? Because by leaking information about selection, can't it influence the other team's decisions? And aren't
his
you then,
boss, I'd say.
Aren't you
my
then?
My employer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but I'm there's not, no moral kind of like.
I'm not leaking it, I'm reporting it.
Right.
Yep.
Like, someone else has leaked it. Is that correct. What you're saying?
That's the issue.
Yeah, right.
That, if someone's telling me that, I'm not.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And in the end, like, you know, selection stories are like meat and potatoes. You know, like the stories about what like Swanee would have gone through, yeah. You know, off-field stuff that's really difficult. But this is just like a player's been dropped. He knows he's been dropped. I'm not telling him he's been dropped. So yeah. I'm going to report it. And it's up to the – if I'm the Dogs in that situation, I'm telling the player and then I'm pretty soon after putting out a statement or putting out a story so that it can't leak out any other way.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, so that happened. Luke Beveridge called me, and I've said this before. called me late that night. It was like 11 o'clock Melbourne time.
Did you like, should I take this call? Or?
Well, I was like, I'll take it. I put it on loudspeaker and my wife was like, don't do that. So, because she gets really scared.
Yeah.
And he just like tore shreds off me. Mm. I can't believe you've done this. Yeah. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, this is just a footy story. Anyway, I didn't argue back. I just listened to it.
Yeah.
And then the next game, so the Dogs play round one the next year against Melbourne, who I support. And I do a story on Lachie Hunter being dropped. It's a completely different source, like completely separate. But in Luke Beveridge's mind, he's thinking Tom is out to get the Western Bulldogs and he's a Melbourne supporter. When in fact, I'm a Melbourne supporter is irrelevant because the club actually, I've had many run-ins with the Demons over the journey. And I don't think they particularly like me either. So so I did that story. Lachie Hunter was dropped, ended up getting in because there's a late change. And then after the game, you know, the boss at Fox and David King messaged me, you got to get into this press conference and ask what happened with Lachie Hunter during the week.
Were you like, oh, fuck.
I was like, oh, yeah, because like, yes, I'll ask the question because I don't know if any other journo will. And I walked in there and I sat in front of Nadine, who was the AFL media manager. She now works at Collingwood. And she goes, it's great to see you here. Like, this is good. You know, you're confronting your stories. So that was the genesis of me saying, you know, this is the AFL press conference because I knew that she was trusting in me to be there. Then I asked the question and he just went on a rampage. And we've all seen it. Yeah. You know, like, you know, it's been, oh, God, it's. I lay, put my head on the pillow at night and I think of him saying, and you, what, like, and you, Tom Morris. But, yeah, so that's what happened then. And, to be honest, like, I didn't mind it. You know, like, he was, I'm not the first journo to get a spray from a coach.
Yeah.
I'm sure Mick used to spray.
Yeah, Mark Stevens, he copped him.
Yeah, Steve-O. Yeah, I think he used to ask rhetorical questions back to journos. They have to come with answers. So I left the presser and then my phone just blew up. Like, I was like, what is going on? You know, like, because they played it in full.
Yeah.
I'm getting calls from everyone all over the place. Like, I actually can't keep up. I'm thinking, what do I do here? So I went home, went to bed, like barely slept, woke up at 6 a.m. the next morning. And there's like Tony Jones with Carl Stefanovic on Channel 9 Today Show saying like, this is great journalism, all this sort of stuff. And again, the public hates journos patting journos on the back. Mm. So I'm like, I don't want this. I'm getting messages from like AFL players I've never met before saying, are you okay? That's the other thing. People didn't know that I actually like relished it. They thought I was like, I was like, no, this is great. Like, this is fine. These are just words. I'm not bothered.
Good
by
for your profile to boost you.
Yeah, and then obviously,
so it's a great shit hit the fan after that.
Yeah, about midday. Midday the next day, it all went south, and that was pretty grim. But the Luke Beveridge stuff was a period I'll never forget.
You ran into him since?
Haven't run into him since.
No.
And I've actually got nothing against him. Like, he's a coach defending his team. He was off the mark with what he said.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a biased Melbourne
guy. But let me ask you this. How much do you think he was genuinely at you and how much do you think he was trying to send a message to whoever at the club was telling you things?
Well, first of all, he assumes someone at the club was telling me things. So he didn't have an understanding of how stories get out.
Yeah.
It's not always someone at the club. Secondly, no, I think he was angry at me. I think he was pretty angry at me. So it was
I think he made it clear by going, yeah, you, Tom Morris.
Yeah. And so all these people just, you know, I just couldn't keep up with the app because I'm a replier.
Yeah.
So I'll always reply to every message I get, every direct message, anything. I'm just who I am, every email. And I couldn't keep up.
Can I tell you, if you say something about Braden Maynard, maybe you should get suspended.
Yeah.
If you're a replier, that will be held against you by the Collingwood mob.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you.
Yeah, I saw that.
Well, he shouldn't have, so he didn't.
So, I agree with you, Swanee. Yeah. I'm a Melbourne supporter.
Yeah.
Part two of that with Ed and Hutchie sort of era from the 90s that I remember and I was part of, they were genuinely friends with players. Mm. And that was cool because back then there was no moat. And then by about the mid-noughties, the moat went up and clubs went out of their way to keep players and media separate.
Yeah.
Probably also part of it was players weren't going out and getting blind drunk with journos as much. And,
yeah.
So how is that landscape different for you now as a much younger man?
I'm still mates with players, but my issue is I'm 32 and most of my mates have now retired. Yes. Like I'm mates with Ben Sinclair. Yeah, he retired 6 years ago, whatever it was. And he never gave me a story, by the way.
Yeah.
He wouldn't do that. He's too loyal. But I'm still mates with some players, but I assume that the landscape is different. Most of my contacts or mates in the industry are assistant coaches or recruiters, list managers. But yeah, the players.
I mean, you have to get out there in the nightclubs again and start like coke, start buying drinks for these young footballers.
Tell you what,
again.
That's not the way to do it. That's not the way to like get out to a nightclub and sort of like pretend to be all mating.
Yeah, no.
Most of my best relationships have been forged over like 10 to 15 years playing cricket and footy with and against these guys at school. Literally, like that was it. You know, like I played footy against Dan Hannanbury and got to know him socially, and as a result, I've known him for like 15 years.
Yeah.
Only for my own sport. So not that I was ever going to play AFL. But yeah, I can imagine the 90s, it would have been a different landscape.
Oh, yeah.
And so that would have been fun.
How much does that private school tie help you?
People hate this. People hate the private school chat.
But you will understand it and you will have a different aspect. And sorry, I'll preface it by this. Like CBC is hardly considered an elite private school.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's where Ed went, right?
Yeah.
And I went to Caulfield Tech and what I've noticed, be it myself as a behind-the-scenes guy or someone even as high-profile as Ed, that there's actually a little bit of insecurity about people who haven't got that security that I feel, observing public school people, private school people in Melbourne have in the bubble.
Well, I think
because they've all helped each other.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think probably what's important is that, you know, my dad teaches at Melbourne Grammar.
Yep.
So I wouldn't have gone to Melbourne Grammar if dad hadn't been teaching there because we got 50% off. So, like, there's private school.
Let's get me old man out of retirement. Wow. I just throw me kids.
So, there's private school people and there's private. Like, we could never afford to have a beach house or go away. Like, my parents scratched and clawed to send my two sisters to PLC and Melbourne Girls Grammar and meet
that,
a Melbourne
I'm
girl.
I'm living that now. But
so, so it was hard when we were growing up, even though I went to a private school, which might be a bit of an oxymoron, but it was. Like, it was really difficult for my parents. But there's no doubt that.
So you're saying you felt like an outsider or insider?
No. Well, sometimes I did.
No,
I mean that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Sometimes I did. You know, like people are like, oh, what are you doing on the holidays? They'll be going, I'm going to Portsea or going to Noosa. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm just in Melbourne. but I'm not complaining. It's just like, it was amazing some of the circles you moved in. And I just wasn't one of those people.
Yep.
But in saying that, the connections that you get at the school are massive.
Yes.
And being. You know, as I said, playing first 18 footy and first 11 cricket, you play with and against people all over the place, and you get to know people that you otherwise wouldn't. So I think it's pretty important. And I coached Joe Maguire and Xander Maguire in cricket.
How do they go?
Joe's both good players, both really good teams. Xander, like white line fever. Joe white line fever as well. Joe's
imagine that have all the fucking brand new perfect stuff
brand
from that.
New stuff.
That have bats from all any Australian Test cricketers.
And like Eddie would come along with. The Herald Sun, The Age, The Australian, and he'd read every paper front to back throughout the day's play. Carla would leave him alone. He'd just sit there watching the cricket.
And you know what?
Paper.
He'd know exactly who made their runs and what shots he made. Like, mate, he could sit down and go, that was a great cover drive in the fourth ball of the innings. Yeah.
But no,
he doesn't miss much.
There is a stereotype, you know, like me being a white heterosexual male who went to a private school and got given a job and then got sacked because of these demeaning derogatory comments. So it's very hard to break that stereotype to people who don't know you. So
or know the system.
Or know the system, And that's part of the reason I'm lucky I don't care what people say that don't know me because they don't actually know what I've been through.
One of the very few these days, white heterosexual males. There's not many of us left.
Tom's thinking, what the fuck am I coming here for again?
Microphone on the table.
It's not.
Don't engage.
No, I'm not. That's right.
It's not. So, this is a Sam Newman thing.
Yeah.
It's not the questions you ask, it's the answers you give. In this case, we've learnt, Samantha Wright, just say nothing.
I'm looking at Samantha and she just goes.
Well, we are. We're in the fucking minority these days.
What about the being first for the story versus being the best take from a story, which I think is now more important than the breaking story.
Interesting. As in being the first after the story to have the best opinion.
Yes.
Well, that's not my job to be an opinion.
I'm not saying it's your job. I'm saying in media now, it's generally that what again, the Hutchie and Eddie era, was whoever broke it was the big dog.
I still think it is. I'm coming from a biased perspective because I'm not the one to have the opinion after, but I still think telling people what they don't already know is
slow your nose if you want to
sorry.
He's had a rough couple of days.
Tell Sam to put the audio down?
There's right. No cough button.
No.
Sneeze button. Oh, God. She's laughing.
What? What the fuck do you want me to do?
Usually, like, I'll press, because he doesn't wear headphones, I'll press the theme song at the beginning, and then he goes...
Clear my throat, like, Tom.
You're a pro, Swanee. Exactly. I've pressed go. Could you not have done that 10 seconds earlier? I say, are you ready? Yeah. And you say, yes.
So I can involuntary muscle. It just happens. Like, just ready to go. It just happens.
Oh, my
Stop
God.
Blinking.
It's not at all.
It is. Stop blinking.
Back to the hot take.
Oh, yeah. What was I saying? So, like, you know, the biggest thrill you can get is breaking a story in media that people don't know. So the Damien Hardwick quitting story.
Yep.
I was at home. My wife was in Perth for work. I was just like, I was shitting myself. I knew it was right.
Yes.
But like, I wouldn't go with it if I knew didn't know it was right. But I was just like, oh my God, like imagine if he changed his mind or, you know, anything can happen. So that's still the biggest thrill you can get. But it's all about how close you want to be to the cliff. And Hutchie talks about this all the time.
Right.
It's like, if you're a journo that wants to be on the edge of the cliff, you're probably going to get like 3 in 10 wrong. If you're a journo that's too far back from the cliff, you'll never break anything. So it just depends. And the only way you learn is by actually doing that yourself.
What about the world of Twitter and stuff now? Like how, because people, obviously everyone's got an opinion now. Like so everyone, you obviously on Twitter, do you break stories on Twitter? Because it gets, that could be the first avenue to break a story. So do you have to wait up or fuck, I can write this, but this might take a couple of days to get it out. And then someone might punch it out on Twitter and then I'm fucked.
Then you got to weigh that up because... So the Hardwick story, I wrote mid-afternoon when I was about 50% sure it was correct.
Yeah.
And then I had it ready to go. So then it went on the SEN website. And when it went on the website, I just tweeted it out straight away.
Yeah.
But yeah, sometimes you can't wait. You have to just tweet it out. But I'm employed by SEN, so the obligation is to do it for them rather than my own Twitter account if possible. Yeah. But sometimes stories aren't big enough for the internet either. Okay. Like I did one yesterday on Xavier Clark going from Richmond to North Melbourne. It's not going to win me an award.
Yeah.
So I just tweeted that.
Yeah.
But in an ideal world, you always write something or go online.
Yeah.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And what have you learned about doing the show this year? So for those who haven't heard it, you've been doing the Sunday morning show with Sarah Olley and generally Scotty Lucas,
yep.
Your main man. So it's a different dynamic doing this type of champagne sort of work. Yeah.
Sarah hasn't sneezed on it. What did you do?
No, bloody nose. Yeah.
That's not all he does.
Wow, mate.
Expectorate.
Pardon?
You expectorate. You'd think by Wednesday his pipes would be clear.
Yeah.
However.
Mate, I was out late. I was out late last. I wasn't doing anything wrong. I was driving home from the function. Yeah.
What time was that?
I got bed about 3. I had to be up. But then these fucking assholes crossed the road from this park. Mate, they're cutting bricks this morning. Dead set. It felt like it started as soon as I got to bed. Jesus, man. So fucking loud. Man, well, unfortunately, they did not
rough this
morning.
Hang on. You've got to start.
Jeez, I walked out there and I thought about giving them a spray, but I just waved at them. Oh, the pussy that I am. I was like, I'm going to tell these fucking assholes, shut the fuck up. Walked out there and I was like, hey, walk back inside. I was like, I fucking told them. It's in my head. Yeah.
You've got to start conditioning yourself because aren't you leaving to be back amongst the sleepless twins?
Yeah, no.
That's right.
Yeah, no.
You're a father.
So back to doing
this. I am free.
What did you learn about different skill set this year?
Oh, well, crunch time's all with Sarah Olley, and Sarah's a gun. I don't know if you've come across her. So Sarah and I have been friends since 2015. We got hired for Fox. There was one job at Fox because I worked at St Kilda Footy Club before then for 3 years, just doing like website stuff. And it was a great start, although it was when they were terrible. Like Scott Waters got sacked and they finished last and it was a disaster. But then I got offered this job at Fox And there was one job available, but they liked Sarah and me so much, they made two positions. So Sarah and I started, we'd never met, we became very good friends. And then when SEN said to me, oh, would you like to come and do a show? I said, oh, yes, are you sure you want me? You know, yeah. Are you sure you want to take the bullets for me? And Hutchie was great like that. And they said, okay, that's great. And they didn't say it, but I sort of knew that the only way they were going to get me is if Sarah Ollie agreed to be the host. Yeah. They wanted to get Sarah and me together. So I said to Sarah, it's entirely up to you, because she copped a lot of flack. Like, she actually really copped it. And that
so she's a true friend.
True friend. Like, yes. She's one of my closest friends.
Yep.
Not to say that she didn't, she wasn't pretty forthright with me when I got sacked and when it all happened.
Did she give you some good leading team style feedback?
Yeah, but that's okay. Like, I deserve 100%. That. So, and so I really respected that. And I respect her, and she's great at what she does. And she said yes to the job. So it was me and her. And then I don't know who, Scott Lucas come on board, and we had Josh Jenkins, I think, for a couple of weeks. But it's been a good reintroduction, because it's Sunday mornings aren't too hectic. I'm not expected to drop any bombs.
Yeah.
We can just have a chat about the footy over the weekend. And the show was really nothing. Beforehand, not nothing, that's wrong. It just didn't, they didn't really promote it before this year. So we started from scratch.
But that's your dream scenario, because you can make it how you want it to be.
Which we have, yeah. And thanks to some, full disclosure, Ralph's given us some advice. So we have, you know, we've got the Sunday sermon, we've got some snaps, we've got different segments that we've included, because it needed some structure. So you've given us that. And that's been awesome. And I can't speak highly enough of Sarah. Like, I'm biased, but I reckon Sarah is as good of, I mean, if you're going to have a female host on footy coverage. Is that my microphone?
That's Dane.
Yeah.
What am I doing?
Yeah. I think Sarah's as good, if not better, than any female host in AFL footy. So I hope she gets eventually a full-time gig at Seven or Fox and gets to host broadcasts, night games, because I reckon she's a gun.
So what's... I've never met her. So yep. This is just purely observation.
She's a Swans Nuffy as well.
What surprised me... No, sorry, not what surprised me... I didn't really have an opinion, because other than heard her stuff on Fox and she'll do an AFLW on Jared stuff, but she laughs.
Yeah, she's a cackler.
She you cackles. Know what? That's underrated.
Yeah.
And particularly among, and I don't know about Sam if this is...
Okay.
No. I think a lot of women are trying so hard to be upright, so-called professional, that sometimes I think it's hard for women just to relax and say, I'm just having a fun banter session, particularly it's a Sunday morning show.
Yeah.
Well, I think with Sarah.
Laugh, Samantha.
No, I think that someone in the past's laugh was scrutinised heavily in the media. And
did I work with her?
I don't know.
I think I did.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
I think I do.
Tell me her name.
I wasn't being a leading question, by the way. So you've obviously done thinking of someone.
And I think that a lot of people saw this person who stepped into a new role that was there for her for other reasons.
Yep.
And it fell flat.
Right.
Not for the reason of her laugh, but that's one thing that she was remembered for. Yeah. And people kind of were like, oh, well, I can't act like that. I can't be that.
That was Nerilee Meadows on the footy show.
There
and she started hosting. And I worked with her at Fox, and she was an absolute pro. Mm. And she copped it for her laugh on the footy show.
Copped it.
And
I felt so sorry for her. Remember.
Yeah.
You know, that was probably back in an era, though, where no way you could do that now.
Pile into it.
Yeah.
Well, social media still could, though. That's the difficulty.
Yeah, yeah.
But Sarah has great perspective, because in COVID, I think she got stood down by Fox.
Right.
You know, so her career was sort of in limbo for a little bit, as it was for a lot of us. And she's just now happy-go-lucky. She's like, you know what? If I think something's funny, I'm going to laugh. Mm. She's relaxed. She's chilled. She knows the game really well. So anyway, it's not the Sarah Ollie show, but I reckon she's a gun.
Absolutely. But with Scotty Lucas.
Yeah.
The weird thing I find listening, he doesn't always say about how great a footballer he was.
No, he doesn't give a shit about what sort of player he was. Here we go. He's got a better left foot than you.
He certainly does, mate. You got a better left foot than me.
I like that you missed the tag, but Dane knew exactly where I was coming from. Yeah.
I was trying to be polite.
There's nothing wrong with saying that you were great.
Mm.
Is it, Dane?
Well,
get
me on
us.
Crunch time and I'll show you. And I'll tell you.
We'll get you on Sunday morning this week.
Good luck.
We're on 12 till 2 this week. They put it back an hour.
It's still too early.
For any of us on a Sunday after the grand final.
Yeah.
Scotty's... I'm just like so appreciative that Hutchie's given me an opportunity. And I said to Hutchie, I shook his hand in like, when was it? March. I shook his hand. I said, Hutchie, are you sure about this?
Mm.
And he's like, mate, all good. I've copped a lot worse. And he copped it. You know, like he said a quote on the sounding board. He said, Tom is a fine person who made a bad mistake. And he, like, he copped it worse than what I did initially. I thought, fuck, he's doing this for me. So I'll be forever in debt for that.
So let's do our top 10 list just off the top of our head of people who couldn't give a fuck about that type of blowback. I'd put Hutchie in there. I'd put Dane Swan in there. I'd put Sam Newman in there.
Eddie's there as well.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't think it's got a
He costs more blowback than probably most.
He does.
But as to use Dane's words about Ed, he's got a good forward defence, but I don't think he genuinely. I think he does care what people say about him. He cops it and he moves on.
He does cop it and move on.
But I think he actually cares more than Dane, Sam, or Pudge.
Well, I couldn't believe the other week, like last week, I won this award, which wasn't my fault. Like, I've just got up and accepted this award. Thank you. I appreciate it. I've shown gratitude. I've been humble because I can't believe I'm even allowed back in the media, and people were giving it to me. I was just like, all I've done is just try to, you know, put one foot in front of the other. But it's because I understand it, because they were so offended and hurt by what happened in the first place. So their preconceived ideas about me are like completely toxic and distorted. So I do understand that as well.
So say, you know, I just said to say nothing if there's nothing to say.
Yeah.
So just say nothing for the next minute.
Okay.
Dane, when Hutchie gave Tom a second chance, do you think it would have in any way gone through Hutchie's mind that this guy's really good at his job, and because everyone else has cancelled him, I can get him cheaper?
No, I think so. I think so. Yeah, he's a shrewd businessman, old Hutchie. He's a shrewd businessman. Yeah.
See it like that, Ralph.
No, I know you wouldn't.
Get him doing a Sunday gig, Sunday morning. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. I'm worth this. No, you're not. No, I can get you.
Right. Well, the good thing is then I started doing Monday morning stuff with Kane Corns and Nathan Buckley.
Yeah.
And Bucks was great to me throughout this period. He'd send me the odd message, like, how are you going? But I know that when I'm with Kane, people are going to criticise Kane.
I'll put Kane on that list.
He could not care less what people think. And thank God he doesn't.
Yeah.
Do you think though now he's like, the role he fills is the villain role? So he kind of has to lean into it now.
That's what he gets paid for.
Every time it lands in his bank account, I reckon he goes,
Exactly.
100% agree. He leans into it and he does it really well. And I personally think the footy industry is better for Kane Corns being there. Because nothing annoys me more than an expert who's paid big money that doesn't give their opinion. Yeah. It's like, give us what you're thinking. So I don't agree with about 40% of what he says, and I've told him that. But
I think anyone agrees with half that she says. But at least he's got the balls to come
out.
Exactly. And it divides opinions. That's why people watch Sam Newman on the Footy Show, because it's like, I fucking hate him, so I'm going to see I'm going to yell at him, or I'm going to laugh at him. Same with Kane. They watch, say, what's this fucking idiot going to say next? Or he's actually right, but he's the only one who's got the balls to say it. I also don't think
that sometimes he necessarily believes.
Of course.
I'm going to come in and say that that's right. Well,
no doubt.
Do you know what I mean?
I agree.
Because he has to speak. Of course he doesn't.
No. Taranto not being in the best 150 place.
Yeah, exactly.
He's just stirring the pot. Just giving it a stir.
But he brings content.
That's what it does.
Correct.
And honestly, like, being on with him, he's always got something to say. He watches every game for the weekend.
I've got a criticism of him that I think is fair.
Of course you do, because it's your own opinion.
That's all it is. No, but I wish you would just take this part out of his game, so to speak.
What's that?
Steve Waugh taking the hook shot out.
Take the hook shot out,
punching down on young people, or no-namers.
As in young players?
Yeah, first year players or people.
Such as who? Like, who's
Jack Ginnivan, when he wore the GoPro first game.
Oh, yeah.
He should have gone the club, but he went Jack Ginnivan. Jamari Ugal-Hagen, who others in the footy industry did as well. It was ridiculous. And the Glenn Luff, who was at North Melbourne
The scenes. I know Luffy. I felt sorry for Luffy there.
Yeah,
he's a good man, Luffy.
And the thing is with recruiting, was it John Turnbull who recruited Luke Hodge and copped it because Chris Judd was better than Luke Hodge? I reckon it wasn't bad.
Turned out okay,
You don't know for 5 or 10 years. So he went in behind the... So I just think... I like it when he punches up or punches sideways, but...
Yeah. I'll pass it on.
I know he couldn't give a flying fucking rightly so. Yeah. Righto, tell us what you don't know, what we don't know about these clubs, just anything that comes to mind.
Okay, Norris.
Just 10, 15 seconds. Adelaide. We'll go through all.
You're talking the club in general?
The club in general.
They're a lot better club than they were 4 or 5 years ago, because the training camp was a disaster. can I just say one thing? The training camp story, it disenfranchised about half the playing list. Yeah. Like, Tex Walker thought it was fine. Rory Sloane liked it. But half the players were like, this is like abuse. Like, we hated this. Yeah. Abuse is not the right word, but they hated it. And I called the club and I said, I've got this story. And they called me back an hour later and they go, look, Tom, if you go with the story, you're going to look like an absolute fucking idiot.
Yeah.
And I went with it, and in the end, I didn't go hard enough because it completely destabilized the whole club for about 4 or 5 years. They're a lot stronger now than they were.
I actually had an old saying that you just reminded me, but so if you think you've gone too hard, go harder. Because, and I suppose the point is, if you're halfway out there on the cliff, you might as well fucking keep going because you're either right or wrong.
May as well just keep flapping your arms. yeah, no, Mark Rusciuto's good. Like, I'm a big fan of Mark Rusciuto. Yep. He was always good to me at Fox. So I like the Crows now. I like Matthew Nicks. I've got nothing, not a bad word to say about them.
Brisbane?
What about Brisbane? They were irrelevant 6 years ago. Yeah. They got a priority pick that allowed them to get Charlie Cameron, and now they're in a grand final. So lots of credit to Dom Ambrosio, the list manager, but also I think Fagan was a great appointment. Never played AFL, and he's coaching a grand final.
Carlton?
How long have we got about Carlton? Carlton have been the most unstable club for years. You know, like sacking everyone around the place, you know, board factions and the whole lot. The key to Carlton, in my view, was getting Voss, not because of his coaching, but because he's a good person. You needed a good person as the coach, a really good person, someone who's strong. And once they did that, then everything could work out around that. But even though, like, 10 weeks into this year, I thought they were the third worst
team. Voss is gone.
So how important was Brian Cook's stability there?
Yeah, Brian Cook's stability, massive.
Yeah.
But also, I think what's important is, I think Voss is the most important. Like, he's not a tactical genius at all, but like he's like a what do you call it? Like he's a leadership figure, you know. Yep. Like he's a key figure to that club.
Collingwood.
Well, I can't believe I like the Pies because when I was growing up, I couldn't stand the Pies. Yeah. I was like, you know, they were so good and we were so terrible. As a Melbourne supporter.
They seem like media-wise, they're brilliant.
Well, Nadine is great. I mentioned her before, and Tash is the other. They just get it. They understand it. And I like Graham Wright. What can I say about the Pies? I've always, through Ben Sinclair, like had a fond view of the Pies, and Tom Langdon as well. So I think I'm jealous of the Pies, if I'm honest. I'm jealous of their support. I'm jealous of the way they're so tribal. I wish Melbourne was like that.
Well, if you're hearing this part one, we'll be talking to Dane about the grand final part two. Essendon?
Well, Essendon's like Carlton. Like, they've been destabilised by all the people off the field. Mm-hmm. But now they've got all their ducks in a row. Dave Barham is a ripper. He was a lot of help for me. He's the president. I don't know Vozzo. Dodoro's leaving, which is massive. He's one of the funniest stories in footy, Adrian Dodoro. He's been there for 30 years. And I like Brad Scott as well. So Brad Scott and Dave Barham, who I both didn't know, both sent me messages after I got sacked. Hope they don't mind me saying that. Saying, hope you're going okay. Let me know if I can help you. And I don't forget that sort of stuff.
No, you don't. No. Just a tiny bit of self. But when it happened to me, I kept the 6 pages of stuff that I got from everyone, including quotes. And you never forget the people who did because the easiest time is to pat someone on the back when they're going well.
Yeah.
But when you're in the shit, and someone reaching out, that's something you don't forget, is it?
Yeah, that's right. And Brad Scott was at the AFL at the time. And Dave Barham was just a media executive. And they were just like, I hope you're going okay.
Freo?
I had to say, Freo's irrelevant, completely irrelevant at the moment.
I'm not going to win the flag this year, are
they? No, Ralph Adams is very hard.
I went early with the
both them. WA sides are relevant.
They are, but at least West Coast is super strong off the field, and so are Freo, I guess. But they've got no draft picks, Freo. They just had a shocking year. I worry about Longmuir because
they appear boring from the outside.
Well, Longmuir himself is not an emotional character, so he's not going to get an uptick in terms of, like, you know, investment. And
is he the opposite of what you said about Voss?
No, well, I think Longmuir's a good person.
Very tactical.
Yeah, very tactical.
But maybe not.
Yeah, maybe not a motivator. So I think there's question marks there for sure.
Gold Coast?
I like the Gold Coast. I really like the Gold Coast. And that, I don't know if I'm by myself there, but I like their players. I love the Gold Coast as a venue. I love Burley Pavilion.
So my conspiracy theory with no knowledge. I reckon Dimmer knew there was a job for him when he left Richmond.
Yeah.
What's your feeling out of 10?
Oh, no. My feeling is that my first inclination that Hardwick was leaving Richmond wasn't that he was leaving the Tigers. It's that he was going to Gold Coast. That's the first thing I heard.
Yeah.
About 3 weeks before I broke the story, someone told me, I think Dimmer's going to Gold Coast. I was like, no, he's not. Stuart Hughes, the coach there. He's at Richmond. That's exactly how it played out.
Yeah.
I wasn't brave enough to say it. Yeah. But that was the first little inclination I got.
Cats?
I think the Cats are in a bit of trouble now. I really do. I think I've been saying it for years, but they're old now. Someone might dig this up, but I just don't think they're going to be any good next year, so they've got to work out what they want to do. I was in the hub with Andrew Mackie in Queensland. Big fan of Andrew Mackie, so he's become list manager to Footy Boss. But I just they need some new young players.
Yep. GWS?
I like the Suns. I really like the Giants. I don't know why I like these expansion clubs so much. I guess they're more open, easy to get along with. Toby Green's my favourite player in the AFL by far. I love players, and Swanee was one of these.
On skill or personality?
Well, it's all together. Like, his whole package I love. But I love players who are good, not because they're tall or quick, because they're good. So yeah. Swanee was one of them. But Toby Green is good, not because he's quick or anything like that. He's just a gun player.
Yeah,
he's and great. So yeah. I love the Giants because of him. But also I like other players there as well.
Hawks?
I think they're doing the right thing. I don't know what you guys think. I think that
this surprised us a bit. No, I thought they'd probably win one or two games, but
yeah,
it looked okay in the back end of the year.
Sam Mitchell, they really rate as a coach, but the rebuild coach rarely survives the sack, so he's got to buck the trend. But I disagree with people who say the Hawks are doing the wrong thing. Like, they've won their flags. Off the field, with Kennett as president, that was a debacle because he was so destabilising and people just didn't like him. But I think they're better now.
Yeah. D's?
It's hard for me to separate. I'm a D supporter, only because my dad and my family is, but I'm worried about the D's. And
really?
Yeah, I'm worried about the D's. I just think that you've got to make the most of it when you're in this window, and they've now lost four finals in a row. So, yeah, I'm worried about the D's.
That's not good, is it? Just what? Losing four finals in a row, is that good, Ralph?
Well,
straight sets 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
So I tipped the horse on math science for our people because you told me to be more generous.
Mm.
Called Golden Mile.
Yeah.
Here's the analogy. Golden Mile first, it trailed like a bomb.
Yeah.
First up, a horse falls in front of it. That's a good excuse. Second up, has a wet track. Well, that's a good excuse. It doesn't handle a wet track. Third up, the market says, well, fuck you. You were no good. Mm. And then it wins at $9. So what I'm saying is he got beaten twice for reasons.
Yep.
Melbourne have lost four finals in a row because injuries smashed them late in the season. So it's not because they were no good.
Mm.
Injuries smashed them.
It's not because they're no good, but you set the bar high. It's like you expect them to make a grand final.
Yep.
And 2 years in a row they don't. Even make a prelim. I know the injuries hurt them, but it's like...
So again, with like a racing...
They still haven't won a grand final.
What's that?
They still haven't won a grand final in 60 years.
I don't understand that. What's that gag?
It didn't count.
Because of
COVID.
Doesn't count.
Sorry, I was a bit slow there. I was like, hang on, 2021.
No, it doesn't count. Maybe for the players, but if you can't celebrate because we're locked in our fucking houses, what's the point of winning one if you can't?
That is true.
A lot of people broke the law that night, I reckon.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of him, what a fucking glorious day it was yesterday. Oh, yeah.
I thought you'd be happy.
Yeah,
we'll get to that part too. Dane's other club that he's a paid up member for, North Melbourne.
I feel sorry for North Melbourne. I sort of pity North Melbourne.
Do you think they should have got the priority picks?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think there's maybe not three of them, but I think they should have got some sort of assistance.
Yeah.
I don't mind the assistance. Like, look at Pendlebury was assistance. Like,
what's he done?
Yeah, what's he done? But like, there's been assistance all throughout the last 20 years. They had to get something. This is what they got.
Yeah.
It was a fair bit.
But do you think they're on the right track?
Oh, it's too early to say.
No, but on the tracks, they've started lugging over shit on the fucking train before they get on the track.
D's year two.
Melbourne is the blueprint how to rebuild a club.
Yep.
So they need to, and you said it, I think, on Twitter, as you said, a lot of things on Twitter, which is good. They need to get their, I don't know, like their Chris Dawes, Bernie Vince types in before they get their big fish.
So what I said, Dane, was that Melbourne couldn't get Stephen May and Jake Lever types at that level until they had, but first they needed Daniel Cross and Bernie Vince. The pretty good players,
but you
got to not be completely shit because you know Dangerfield's not going to go to fucking North Melbourne.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
but I do like North Melbourne and I like the people there and I get along well with Clarko.
So. Port,
I respect Port. Like the fact they left Ken Hinckley until August to re-sign, I rate it. Like they just went nah, stuff it. We're going to do whatever we think's right. And they failed. They failed. They didn't make the grand final again, but I like the way they just have a crack.
Tigers, what's your Uze meter?
I used to love Adam Uze.
Kicked five on me one day.
Did he?
Yeah.
Or were you playing in, what were you playing half?
Yeah, I know. Mick used to throw me down, play me down back, Stark, so I couldn't get in, so I wasn't good enough to get in the midfield. So yeah, Uze kicked five on me one day. They're the fucking very they were the most unlucky five of all time. Couple of free kicks, fuck, stuck one out the back. I did the right thing, tried to attack, handball over the top. Yeah, the one he just took a proper mark. I mean, got me on the lead, but kick five. Yeah, three people kicked five on me in my career.
Who were the other two?
Paul Medhurst, who I ended up playing with,
yeah.
And Matty Robbins from Bulldogs.
Matty Robbins, yeah.
You'd be happy with that.
Pardon?
He'd be happy with that.
The only fucking thing he did. Kick five on me, so yeah. So I remember that.
You went kick chasing, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that wasn't great. No. Five kick five on me three times.
You reminded me of a footy show, maybe. Derm Rangmus, out of the blue, said, get Zeno Tatsaras on because he once kept chasing Colas, and it was just a shit chase. We did. Sydney.
Good question. I loved Buddy. So I'm sad that Buddy's retired. Yeah. Buddy's the best player I've ever seen by far, yeah. I reckon. I just love him.
Yep.
What I got to say about the Swans? Nothing real about the Swans.
Culture's gone. Callum Mills wrestling on Monday. Yeah. They're starting to break.
Their facility is unbelievable. So I went there for a tour like a month ago. It's unbelievable place. Like unbelievable facility.
I'll finish your Uzay bit before.
I just loved Uzay as a player.
Yeah.
Left foot, long sleeves, rolled
up. What you feeling like as a coach?
Yeah, good. Tactically very good. So I think, yeah, he'll be good at the Tigers.
Saints?
I worked at the Saints, so I've got a soft spot for the Saints, and I feel sorry for St Kilda supporters because they've been through so much shit for so long. Yes, they sort of pride themselves on being long-suffering supporters, yeah. Which is it's pretty sad that that's like badge of honour. But I respect the Saints. I like I really get along well with Ross Lyon. I really like him because I like straight shooters, and he's a straight shooter. And I like their players, and I like the club.
Eagles?
Oh, they're just an arrogant footy club, aren't they? So arrogant. But, I mean, they sort of deserved it. They've been good for so long. 2018 was an unbelievable win, really. But they were too arrogant. They should have cut their list a year or two ago, and it cost them this year.
So do you like or do you think it's a mistake they've stuck with Simo knowing that the coaching wasn't the problem, it was the list management?
No, I would have moved on and had a fresh start.
Yeah,
yeah.
And your second favourite team, Luke Beveridge's Bulldogs.
Yeah, I like the Dogs. I like the Dogs. I like people there. I like everything about the Dogs, and even Luke Beveridge, I've got no hard feelings towards. I honestly don't. Like, I'm able to laugh about it. And I just think that the Dogs, they pinched one in 2016. They made a granny in 2021. But for whatever reason, they're under pressure now because they got to go deeper in finals. So
absolutely. Well, look, thanks for coming.
Before
in.
You go, yeah. You've got a trade for one trade for us. That
what do you want? What do you want to know? You want an exclusive for the podcast?
Oh, just then. Give
Where's
me
Bailey any. Smith?
Well, we don't really staying. Care. But do you know any trades that no one else knows? You don't have to tell us. But is there some that you're working on? Are you working on those stories right now?
Us an exclusive. Where do you think Dusty Martin will be next year?
Yeah.
Next year, Dusty's at Richmond. The year after that, I reckon he's going to be at Gold Coast.
Yeah.
As a free agent, yeah. I reckon. Yeah. Melbourne's the big one. Like, which forward are they chasing? Like, they need someone. Oscar Allen or Aaron Norton, Ben King, Jamara. They're going to get Jamara.
The Bulldogs are going to be empty, aren't we?
Yeah, well, the Dogs.
Bailey, I mean, Jamara.
So Norton. You're a Dog supporter as well.
Well, I work
whoever she works for, she supports about eight sides. So,
Dogs next year, Tim English, Bailey Smith, Aaron Norton, Jamara, all out of contract.
Yeah,
I don't know how they're going to keep all four.
No.
And
who goes if you?
Well, I reckon that Tim English and Norton are the two because they're both managed by Colin Young.
Yeah.
And if you're Colin Young, you're going, you pay Aaron Norton what we want, or we'll take Tim English. Okay. Like you're using them against themselves.
And do you think Grundy's going to Sydney?
100% going to Sydney. Right. Yeah. It's just what the deal is. I feel sorry for Brodie Grundy. He signed a deal.
No.
I mean, he still gets paid well. So
there's
maybe
a way of getting over that.
There is, yeah. He gets good cash. But he just wants to
like
play.
Like going down to Casey in the freezing cold. Yeah. Like,
to play BFL.
Yeah.
I know. And he's a deep thinker, as you know.
He is.
There's more to life than footy for him. But he'll go to the Swans and he'll be the number one ruck.
He's pretty ordinary. He's going up there for lifestyle instead of football.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Port, you know, Port, you know,
oh, what a fucking disgrace.
You know, Port were annoyed at that because Port's presentation was all footy, and Brodie Grundy's like, okay, well, what about outside footy? And Port was like, no, you're coming here for footy. And he's like, no, I'm going to the Swans because I want whatever he wants to do in Sydney. Yeah, I want to go eat at Toddy's in Bondi or whatever he wants to do.
Yeah.
What was the one you said on
the bread?
Without repeating yourself, but I'm getting you to repeat yourself. What was the one you said on Sunday about one of the Essendon did a presentation to one of the players the players did it to one of the players rather than the club?
Yeah, they did it. It was Zach Merritt, Redmond, Ridley, McGrath did a presentation to Ben McKay.
Right.
Nothing. Not Brad Scott, not anyone else. And that's what won him over. He's like, this is a player-driven thing. So,
Smart, isn't it?
Yeah. Essendon haven't won a final since
I was going to say, but then you look up and you're at Essendon and you're like, ugh. they're shit house. So. Yeah,
did you ever get close to going anywhere else?
Nah. I don't think anyone else would have taken me. I think my manager maybe floated Sydney once because he was good mates with John Lyon. But, like,
yeah.
Unless I'm sure... Bucksnap probably tried to trade me every year he had me, like no doubt. But I was never yeah. maybe early in my career they tried to sack me, but I was too lazy. He knew everything. I could do what I wanted at Collingwood. You know, you go to a new club, you have to impress. You have to work hard during preseason. You have to fucking make new friends. Wasn't
That's Dusty. Dusty, he's not going to go there and have to impress. He just wants to do his own
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Nah, the trade period is going to be crazy again, and I do like the trade period.
So what you're doing SEN breakfast?
Collingwood, and is there anything if you're sniffing around? I don't know.
Collingwood, the main one is Tom Duday, the defender from Adelaide. He's done two ACLs. So they're trying to get him. And I read this morning they're trying to get Todd Goldstein as well, which is interesting because he's leaving North. I'm doing SEN breakfast 6 to 9 a.m. Someone with Bucks on Monday. And then trade radio 1 to 3 p.m. with Sam Edmonds. So for the first time in 18 months, I've got full-time work. Whoa. So I'm looking forward to
not
it.
Not after this anyway.
Thanks so much for coming in and congratulations on getting back in your
thank feet. You. Thanks, Ralph. Thanks, Sam. Thanks, Swanee.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.